to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Trying to bring in this first run of the game. The pitch, swinging a ground ball through the right side, base hit. Cruz waved around third. Here's the throw home. And he's safe. Pirates take the lead. Brian Reynolds drives in Cruz. 1-0 Pirates. Swing, fly ball, left field, down the line. Canario is playing well off the line. Still on the run.
Oh,
still on the run. He'll
yes.
get there, slide, and make the catch.
What
the game is over.
Great play to end the game. He ran the length of North America to catch that ball. Wow.
Alexander Canario with a great catch. De La Cruz is out. The Pirates win it. A shutout win over the Reds. 1-0. Just what they needed.
It sounds like some sort of thing to dance to. I don't know. Is it an
a
jig of some sort?
It's a celebration
what is it?
Of the win yesterday
yes,
for the Pirates.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, as a matter of fact, Limits. I was writing this morning about flag football, but also thinking about little Bailey Falter. And what a wonderful man he seems to be. Man, he was great last night, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's had like two blow-up starts this year. But other than that, he has been terrific for them. His ERA in the month of May is like 0.4. He's been awesome.
Are you okay today?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
Very good. And I love it when we talked 10 minutes before the show. And this was the first time you ever said to me, would you like the good news or the better news? That's what I like to hear.
How about
Limits.
That? We're trying to bring the boom here on the middle of May, end of May.
That is exactly what I like to hear. Yesterday, I played Totteridge. I'd never played there. It was a wonderful course, I might add, Limits. It looked like Ireland. I felt I was in Scotland or Ireland, and I parred the last three holes. Are you proud of me?
I'm very proud
Don't
of you.
Don't ask what I did on the other 15 holes, but the last three I parred in a row with a man named Gavin from Greensburg. It was a little backed up near the end, and the guy pulled up behind me, and I said, Gavin, do you want to play the last three holes together? He said, yes. He seemed like, you know, a guy like me, a 17, 18 handicap, and each of us parred the last three holes, six in a row.
Wow.
This guy's my new best friend.
Competition at the very end.
Gavin from Greensburg.
I think what people are even more questioned about is how did you get home? Did you get home? How long did it take you to get home?
What do you mean? Why do you ask?
Because at Neverwood, you had some issues.
Oh, yeah. I didn't lock my keys in my car this time. You're only going to get me to do that once, Limits. Maybe once in my whole life. I had a wonderful time. And then I came home and watched the Pirates, and that was very enjoyable. And that's where we begin today. There's no Bob. Let's all get over it soon. He's part-time pomp. He's off. He's actually making sacrifices to come in at all this week, and I appreciate that.
Are you very upset that Bob's not here?
No, I was just explaining the opposite of that, in fact. Are you listening, Limits?
You slammed your hand on the table.
So like I was Brian
just,
Kelly.
Yeah,
yes.
So I was just trying to make sure everything's okay.
By the way, I missed it. Darn it.
Talking about the same things.
And you need in the Limitless Express to put back in the part where you said you're questioning my intelligence. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm questioning your integrity. I like that as the ending for the Limitless Express, okay?
Yeah, you really just tried to hammer me on that one. Now you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity. I do like that. I like that. Now, I'm in a good mood today, Limits, and it seems like you are too. And I think we all need to get over Bob's absence. Everybody out there, I know it's disappointing, honestly. When you hear at the start of the show, there's going to be no Bob. But we need to move on. And you know what'll help? A little six-pack, Limits. Why don't you crack one? I was just talking to the esteemed Adam Crowley in the hallway.
Esteemed.
And I was thinking this morning about the Pirates starting pitching and about how remarkable it truly is that they have the hard part figured out. This is like having your franchise quarterback but having nothing around him. They're putting a franchise quarterback on the mound almost every night. And yes, I'm exaggerating a little bit with Bailey Falter, but as you said, his ERA this month is microscopic. The one thing that Ben Cherington appears to be adept at is finding pitchers. Am I right about that, Limits? It seems like there's a veteran around here almost every year who's pretty good, one or two of them, correct?
Tyler Anderson, Jose Quintana, they did a really good job with now finding Bailey Falter.
And Heaney.
Yeah, and Heaney. When they traded for Falter, we were all like, this guy has been awful for Philadelphia. And they got him for the guy whose phone fell out of his pocket at third base.
I know. I actually liked him at one point. So listen
to
this.
He's been good for them. He's been great, Falter, at times.
Crowley actually did some work because I said to him in the hallway, where does the Pirates' starting rotation rank in ERA? He said, I'm not sure about that. But this morning, and this is Crowley I'm quoting here, somewhat loosely, he said, this morning I figured out the four starters ERA for the Pirates is the top four is something like 3.21. That's better than the 2013 rotation with the top four starters.
Wow.
How about that? So then I was thinking before I walked in today, if you would have told me that before the season, you know, I figured Skeens would be lights out. I thought Jared Jones would be in the rotation, so I guess I would have thought he'd be one of the guys. But that their top four starters would be lights out for the most part and have a better ERA than the top four in 2013 finished with, we'd be sitting here on, what is it, May 21st, 22nd?
That's right, 21st.
What do you think their record is, Joe? If you would have asked me that on March 15th and you told me that bit of information, I would have said, you know, where I thought, right around 500, because I do question elements of the bullpen and the lineup stinks. But I still, you know, that would have told me they'd be around 500. Never would I have guessed that they'd be one of the worst teams in Pirate history at this point in the season. Would you have?
No, not at all. I would have thought that they'd be right around 500, probably right at 500.
It's horrifying. They have the hard part figured out. That's why I keep saying, and I think people think I'm crazy, I don't think they're that far away. If an NFL team has a franchise quarterback, by definition, they're not far away. Go fill in some pieces. And when I say not far away, I'm not necessarily saying not far away from a Super Bowl championship. But if you have the guy, and in this case, a couple guys, like a starting staff led by a generational pitcher, man, you shouldn't be that far away from 500, which by definition is in wild card contention limits. I mean, it's remarkable that they are where they are given their starting pitching.
It's truly insane to think about because, especially when you break it down into like the three quadrants of the game, the first three innings, the next three innings, and then the last three innings, the starting pitchers have given them 2/3 of the way there.
Yes.
Like, you can have a crummy bullpen and just be able to tread water even if you have a rotation like this. All that you need to do is average right around 4 runs per game, which is even what they did last year. If they had last year's offense,
they barely won last night. The guy was unhittable, just like the guy the day before and the day before that. They're not just good right now. They're starting rotation. Their rotation, that's redundant to stay starting rotation limits, and I apologize for that. When I was at Waynesburg teaching people like you, it was less is more in every facet of life, including writing and speaking.
Yeah, no redundancy. Don't try to hit a word count.
You just did. Give me another one, would you please?
Sure. I can do that for you.
I forgot what I was even going to say. Oh, they haven't just been good. They've been borderline unhittable, and the team is losing and barely winning. How do you barely win that game last night? I mean, it's amazing. It truly is. Anyway, the laws of the universe say with good must come bad, with expansion must come contraction. So yes, the Pirates won a game, oh limitless wonder. But they also set themselves on the verge of a kind of history nobody wants to make. Would you like to explain to the people where the Pirates are in terms of not having reached even 5 runs in 25 games now?
So it's now 25 games in a row that the Pirates have scored 4 runs or less. That puts them very, very close to the record. The record is 26 games, today could be history for the Pirates. The 1969 California Angels and the 1931 Boston Braves are the only two teams that have reached 26 games in a row in the live ball era, scoring four runs or less in that many games.
I'll tell you what that sparks in me, other than horror, is that some of these California teams that are either extinct by name or actually extinct were very riveting to me as a youth. There was something about them. The California Angels, the California Golden Seals.
Yeah, the Golden Seals.
Yeah, Craig Patrick played for them. He had hair when he played for them. Gilles Meloche was their goalie. You remember him?
How about the Seattle Pilots, the one year that they played in the MLB?
They didn't really intrigue me much.
No?
No.
I have a bunch of baseball cards from the Seattle Pilots. Yeah, my dad has a bunch.
The 1969 California Angels with Jim Fregosi at shortstop, Jay Johnstone in center field limits, a man named Bubba Morton, Andy Messersmith was part of their rotation, Rudy May, legendary, Hoyt Wilhelm was on that team.
Hoyt.
Finishing up in his career, a former Pirate.
Was he the knuckleballer?
Former Pirate? He wasn't a former Pirate. I think of him because he was a knuckleballer, I believe. What limits?
Was the only Nolan the manager of the team?
I don't think so.
Or Crazy Schmidt?
Phenomenal Smith was not on this team. That is amazing. Oh, my God, is that amazing. The lineup that Ben Cherington has wrought is on the verge of history. Who's pitching for the Reds today? Somebody with a 5 ERA, I think. Do they have a shot at this? I thought Cruz might hit a grand slam last night and do it all by himself, didn't you?
Yeah, Brady Singer goes today for Cincinnati. I don't know. Cruz has been...
What's Brady Singer's numbers? Can you please read them to me?
Singer, 41 and two-thirds innings, a 5 ERA, a 1.32 whip, 39 strikeouts, 15 walks on the season. His last start was against Cleveland. He went 5 innings, giving up 3 runs. But the start before that, he gave up 7 against Houston. That's why his ERA has ballooned.
I'm thinking there's a chance. I'm thinking there's a chance today. I'm going to go ahead.
A chance.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and predict it, that they're going to get to the Singer. They're going to boo the Singer here. And they're gonna knock him out of the box.
No
and that's
encore.
Gonna be that. The 1968-69 Oakland Seals. Mike Lang grew up listening to California games, I think, including the Golden Seals. Will you remember anybody on this team? Limits?
No. Brian
Watson, Gene Ubriaco, who would go on to become the Penguins coach,
yeah,
I might
that's
add.
A familiar name.
And I think Craig Patrick, you've heard of him,
of
right?
Of course, Penguins GM.
Always something compelling about those California teams. Next.
You didn't ask my opinion on if I think they're going to break it.
I'm sorry. Do you think they're going to break it?
No. I think the record,
what do you mean?
Will they break off the 25 games in a row, or will they
score 5 runs in the game?
No, they will not. I think that they will hit the record of 26, and they will establish a new record of 27 on Friday night. But I do think that they win today's game 3-2.
I'm thinking today they break it. That is such an, is the word ignominious? What's the word? Such an embarrassing, horrific record to be part of. I mean, it really is. It's somewhat obscure. You know, it's in the realm of Antonio Brown, 6 catches for 50 yards or more. I'll acknowledge that, but it's also pretty straightforward and pretty indicative of what Ben Cherington has done here, what he has wrought. Oh, my goodness. Next. Crowley tells me that Albert Breer has reported that the Steelers checked in on Chris Olave. Is that real, Limits? And that would confirm Crowley's own reporting that he took a lot of heat for. Maybe even catching some Filippone strays from the Brandon Ayuk incident. Is that true?
Possibly, but the fact that other Steeler reporters did put it out there, like Alan Saunders, the Saunders umbrella, and Nick Faribault.
Are you trying to take credit away from Crowley?
Not at all. I'm trying to say that they were verifying what Crowley reported.
Were they?
Crowley's the first one that put it out there, and other reporters said, yeah, they
here it
did
is.
Look on Olave.
Here it is. Last, from Steelers Depot, last Friday, rumors surfaced that the Steelers were interested in Chris Olave. According to Albert Breer in his Wednesday mailbag, that may have been true at one point. The Saints got inquiries from the Browns and Steelers early in the offseason and rebuffed them. So does Crowley get credit for this?
Yes.
Is he saying that they want to add Olave to DK Metcalf?
Yeah, I think so.
Then he doesn't get credit for it.
Why not?
Because they went after him early in the offseason before they got Metcalf.
That doesn't mean they're still not interested.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Might.
No, it doesn't. Might. Not. You have to be specific.
I don't know, man. That. As they say here, early in the offseason is a little unclear, says Joe Clark from Steelers Depot. But it's safe to assume that the Steelers inquired about Olave before they traded for Metcalf. Sorry, Limits. And sorry, Crowley. Next. All right. Flag football is on the docket today. And I have taken a deep dive on this, Limits. In fact, I think I want to come back with this because there's so much here. I talked to somebody who is the director, I think, of the Western Pennsylvania Flag Football Association. I read, as everybody did, that NFL owners voted 32-0 to let players participate in flag football in the Olympics.
Unanimous.
And then I watched, just to get a feel for it, last year's world championship between the U.S. and Austria. And I'm telling you right now, and I don't think this necessarily will happen because countries have a chance to ramp up here. But if Austria is the second best team in the world and Lamar Jackson and Justin Jefferson and Chris Olave, people like that are on the, and Crowley, even they could even have Crowley on that team. They'll win 800-0.
Oh.
These guys for Austria look like a men's pickup basketball team at the YMCA and not a good one. It's a bunch of guys you can picture in knee braces and headbands taking charges in games up to 21. It's unbelievable. I sent you the video. Did you see it?
It said that the video was no longer available.
I know.
For
I texted you back and said, find it anyway.
Yes, you did.
Did you watch it?
No, I did not.
You should, to have a more educated opinion.
Well, my educated opinion is that the United States would blow out whoever they're going to play in flag football in the Olympics. They're going to go on to win the gold medal. And you didn't think that I was the correct take. You thought that, no, don't say that just yet. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that.
Well, that was my original take before I watched this game. Limits, if it were to be that, if it was Austria against Lamar Jackson, he could beat them as one guy on the field.
Easily, yes. That's why I was like,
although I should say quarterbacks are not allowed to run in this league. However, even if they're rushed, and there's only one pass rusher, there's a lot here.
Yeah.
There's a lot here because even from there, my opinion changed upon talking to Chris Curd, former Pitt football player, I might add, who's going to join us in studio tomorrow. I think all of us are kind of captivated by this idea of Lamar, you know, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Jahmyr Gibbs on a team. It would be, you should see, during this brief intermission, I'm going to show you on YouTube this Austrian flag football team, Limits. And that would actually be a bad thing. That would be embarrassing. Really, it would make the dream team against Angola look like a squeaker. And I think that was 114-48 back in 92.
Well, think about it this way. Like, the athletes that we have that have played football all their lives, they're just so elite, that move so well, like the Justin Jeffersons of the world. Even George Pickens, I think, would thrive in this.
No,
it's basically like playing in flag football. What's that face for?
No, go ahead.
It's basically like playing in flag football. It's basically like another practice for them.
No, it's not a practice. Please watch the video. And I'm not making a joke when I say this would be Jamar Chase going up against Mulsey in a flag football game. Okay?
And I'm not disputing that. That's my point.
Yeah, practice is going against other players. This would be like that. Like Lamar Jackson with Mulsey running after him. It would be a joke.
Well, we also talked about how 7-on-7s in football have just exploded over the years here, too.
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
This is basically like a 7-on-7.
It's five. Okay, so what's your point?
My point is, in 7-on-7, when there's no tackling, a lot of high school athletes do it that become college athletes. A lot of the newer NFL players have been playing 7-on-7. It would probably be a seamless transition to playing flag football. So it's another reason why I think that the United States would just completely dominate against the plumbers and the insurance men that are playing for other countries.
That's not a hot take. If especially for anybody who saw Austria play the U.S., they lost 51-23, and it's not like the U.S. team is filled with a bunch of Usain Bolts. However, there is a caveat here, if caveat's the right word.
What is that?
That at least one guy from every team, every NFL team, will be made available for this.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big queue. Taco to go, taco to go. Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go, taco to, this deal legit. Taco to go. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99.
And that there's a lot of international presence, and that it's a 5-on-5 event. So like basketball, one star could make a huge difference. I'll give you an example, or one, you know, one NFL player. It doesn't have to be a superstar. Nelson Aguilar. He is of Nigerian descent. There's a bunch of players from Nigeria. They could put together a team.
Yeah, they could.
If those guys wanted to do that. Canada might have a really good team. Chuba Hubbard could play for them. Josh Palmer could play for them. Chase Claypool could play for them and perform a first down demonstration as they're on a last-minute drive for the goal.
Well, if this is the team that Canada's putting out there, there is nothing to fear for Team USA. Well,
I think Chase Claypool would actually be unbelievable at flag football. It might be his sport. It's 5-on-5.
Yeah, but when it's Chase and Justin Jefferson and Chase Claypool is your receiver for Canada, come on.
It's flag football limits. It's anybody could, if you're 6'5", 220, and you can run fast like Claypool, he could be very good. My point is, in the end, which I also learned today after watching the Austrian team, is that countries have a couple of years to ramp up and might have a wider pool of players than we think. And as Chris Kurd told me, this is different. And I'll give you one example. It's 5-on-5. There's one pass rusher. He starts 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And it has nothing to do with strength because he can't be blocked. So you don't want Miles Garrett or TJ Watt as your pass rusher. As he said, you may have an Olympic gold medal sprinter. For instance, China. I forget the guy's name, has a ridiculous sprinter. China has 2.5 years now to ramp up for this thing. You think they might take it seriously? You think other countries
might take it seriously? Yeah.
So
you're saying that you think that the USA will just waltz into this expecting to easily win gold and not take it that seriously?
No, I'm saying it's different than them playing against Molsey. It could be very different. It's a 5-on-5. So if you have a Canada team with pretty good NFL talent on it, and you have a 5-on-5 flag football game that goes on for 40 minutes or whatever, anything could happen. So I actually think in the end, it'll be a pretty good thing, and that a game or two could be competitive, but that the NFL better make sure it's not, because this will be the biggest flag football event ever staged. And as Kurd also told me, this is already played by millions of people around the world. This could be a dream team-like event if you have NFL players there. Like, obviously, the whole world is watching. He just got back from a trip to Ghana to sell this sport. Seeing Lamar and Justin Jefferson in this could spark just a worldwide explosion the way the Dream Team did with basketball.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
So in the end, even though I think there's potential for just ridiculous and embarrassing blowouts like there was with the Dream Team, the good outweighs the bad, I think. And for the NFL, of course, it's a marketing opportunity to sell the game worldwide and make a lot of money, which is what they live for, right? But I also think that it's a game that can be played very inexpensively. It's very accessible, and I think it would be a good thing for people around the world to be participating in, to be excited about, to have kids doing something like that. So for me, the moral of the story, Limits, and I didn't mean to get into it this much, is that the good outweighs the bad, but the U.S. better win. I think they will if they could play Austria, it would be 200-0, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think teams, I think countries are going to put together teams of very interesting athletes.
It's a little bit of a shot at Malzi. Malzi's a good athlete. He made 9 straight 3s. He's a really good golfer.
You're right about that.
If they're facing a bunch of Malzis, then maybe they're in for more than they're expecting, Team USA.
That was a hell of a roundabout way to take another shot at Malzi, wasn't it?
A little bit. And the NFL has been trying to self-flag so much more significantly than in years past. Like, they'll honor flag football players at the Super Bowl. Remember a couple of years ago, they did that whole lead into the Super Bowl with their intro,
right,
basically being a huge flag football event.
Right, and it's caught on. Yeah. I mean, look at, my daughter played it last year at Seton, and it's becoming, if not already, a Whitfield and BIAA sport.
Yes, they just sanctioned it for, I think it's next year, they're going to be adding flag football.
Girls are flocking to this sport. Losing athletes from other sports to play flag football. I mean, it's the most popular, football's the most popular game in America, so this is a natural extension of that. Bottom line, I'm actually in the end sort of dreading it, but also excited to see it. Are you?
Why are you dreading it? Just because you don't think the competition is going to be that great?
Yeah, because it's not fun to watch U.S. against Angola. I think that's possible, but in the end, as I said, I don't think that's going to happen. But part of me is dreading that possibility, that it could actually be embarrassingly bad.
Do you get spam risk calls every day?
Yeah.
I get it from the same, like, first three numbers of a phone call, and then the last four numbers are always
different.
Don't
answer it, because then they'll record your voice, and then I'll have somebody calling me in your voice on AI. The whole thing's very complicated.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just try to block the number or just immediately cross it out. But, yeah, I'm really excited for this.
Yeah.
Because I think that the possibilities are endless with Joe Burrow throwing to Chase, Jefferson, Saquon in the backfield, and whoever they want rushing the passer.
Now, Kurd thinks it's just going to be a sprinkling of NFL players. And there is a limit. I think there's five guys on the field. There's maybe a 15, 20-man roster that only half of it would be NFL guys. He feels like it's only going to be a sprinkling, and that'll be enough. I don't know, man. I think his best point was, when you're pushing this hard for a sport, you better win on home soil. You better win. What would be your starting five on offense limits?
I would be, I don't know if I want to put a bet on it yet, but I would be absolutely flabbergasted and stunned if they did not win this. I will take you out to a steak dinner.
That's fine. I said, what would be your team?
My team would be Burrow at quarterback, Chase and Justin Jefferson at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Saquon at running back.
Wait, don't you want somebody more elusive than Burrow? The whole idea is you can't run, so you have to be elusive behind the line. Why would you want Burrow?
Because Burrow doesn't need to run, but he can escape the pocket. He's not taking off like Lamar would.
Well, you can actually do
actually,
that.
Actually, I'd want Josh Allen.
Okay.
Because he's the complete package.
I would want Lamar and Jaden Daniels on my team, because I saw plays like the quarterback's not allowed to take off and run, even if he's rushed. However, a simple snap to somebody right behind the line and then a quick lateral to the quarterback, he is eligible to run. So it's almost like a double play in baseball, a short throw and then a lateral to the quarterback. He can do anything he wants. Now imagine Jaden Daniels and Lamar as two quarterbacks on the field. But here's the thing you're not understanding, Limits.
What is that?
Is
you're obsessed with this two quarterback system again.
I am. I don't think, and you need to respect Chris Kurd here. The man that he knows more about flag football than most people on the planet.
I'm not trying to disrespect him at
all. And he's going to be in studio tomorrow. Did I mention that?
I'm very happy to meet him.
He said, again, I repeat, that TJ Watt or Myles Garrett, that's not who you want rushing the passer. Like, the U.S. team should have Noah Lyles rushing the passer. The idea is to get from 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage, across the line, and after the quarterback, and snatch a flag from his waist as fast as humanly possible.
All right. You know who should rush the passer, then?
Who?
Travis Hunter.
That's a pretty good one.
Two-way star, great speed. He can get right to the quarterback.
I think I'd rather have the fastest man in America, though.
Yeah, but can Noah Lyles just easily be able to maneuver around a guy that might be trying to block him?
I told you there's no blocking.
Yeah, but a guy could also just step into his way and try to... So, can
oh my
you,
God.
Can you have somebody that is just like standing
Malzi
around the
disease.
Line of scrimmage?
Early onset Malzi
no,
disease
that's not
kicking
it. Don't
in.
Don't try to throw this back on me like that. Nope, don't you do it. Don't
I
you do
you
it.
I told you there's no
don't
blocking.
You do it. But can you also have somebody that is just designated to protect the quarterback?
No.
That just stands there and just tries to stand in the way of somebody without making contact?
What?
Do you understand? You
yes,
clearly I don't understand what I'm
so
saying.
So somebody who shadows?
Basically,
right.
Yeah.
Limits. You have Noah Lyles with a 7-yard head start. Is there a human being on earth that's going to be able to get in his way if you change his direction? Okay, then you have Usain Bolt on the other side.
Yeah.
Not that I saw. I mean, again, I watched the game. There's, first of all, you'd be sacrificing a receiver unless he was then an outlet guy, but he would still be covered. Four guys go out for a pass, and the quarterback throws it. And I'm just going by what Kurd said. He said if you could have an Olympic sprinter as your pass rusher, that's who you would want.
Makes some sense. I would not be surprised if they have like a couple of guys from like Team USA flag that have been playing for a while.
Yeah, they want to appease those guys. Yeah, those guys, they don't want to give up their spots. All right, let's get more. Your calls on that, by the way. I mean, this is a giant story now. There's also the injury factor. Like, let me ask you this out there, 412-928-9370. Would you want TJ Watt or DK Metcalf or a Steelers star of some sort playing in this thing? Because from what I saw from highlights of that game, you've got guys diving into the backs of knees on the sidelines, sometimes inadvertently. I saw a head-on collision at the goal line, inadvertent. Guys twisting and turning at high rates of speed. And that's why the Packers GM says absolutely not to this. And a lot of people say, I would never send my superstar to this. Do you want to see this? Do you want to see Olympic flag football when you want one of your star players there?
Taco to go. Taco to. And a big cue. Taco to go. Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, this deal so fine. Risk it breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't taco, lose. Taco, taco, taco to go. Taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go. Taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go. $2.99
to go. All right, Limits, I intentionally didn't look this up so that you could surprise me. Why don't you give us one more from our six-pack and tell us what John Heyman is reporting.
I appreciate
if
that.
If you wouldn't mind,
yeah,
please.
Andy Lindberg ran in here in a rush to make sure that we saw this.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
John Heyman of the New York Post. Pirate source. Paul Skeens is not getting traded. The source saying to Heyman, quote, no chance, no way, no how. Is the way Heyman heard it. While there's a bit of logic to such a scenario, Heyman says superstars just aren't traded by anyone with 1 year of service, and the Pirates remain determined to build around Skeens.
Okay, so that gets us to our friend and yours, Andrew Filippone, who misconstrued what I said the other day on the air when I said this, that there's no chance that the Pirates, of their own volition, would trade this guy. But as we said that day, and as Pony said later, everything changes if Skeens says, I want to be traded.
Right.
Then you don't, then the whole equation is thrown off here, correct?
Correct. And you would also lose a ton of leverage if Skeens wants out, because then he's an unhappy employee, and you know that opposing teams can think that they can try to get less for him.
We want volunteers, not hostages.
Entirely.
I don't know if you'd hear that from old Ben Charrington. But, I mean, that's the point here. Of course, the Pirates aren't going to trade Paul Skeens of their own volition. Obviously, they're not.
Especially because they're paying him nothing right now.
But, and it's a pretty big but, if this situation worsens, and it's already really, 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 really bad, everything changes. Then whatever a Pirate source says doesn't matter. Then the Pirate's stance weakens. It's diluted, right? I mean, that would be one of the biggest stories in modern Pittsburgh sports history if this dude asked for a trade a year into his tenure here. I don't think he will.
No.
I don't think he will, but I couldn't help but watch him staring blankly at the field the other night. Could I see something like that happening behind the scenes after the season if they lose 110 games and then have another off season when their big signing is Tommy Pham? Absolutely. I could see that from anybody, and I would understand it from anybody. So I think this story is way on the back burner until the off season or next year, but it's one worth keeping an eye on. But of course a Pirates source is going to say that. But what, of course they are.
What irks me about this, about what
and
Heyman
it's true.
Tweeted.
It's true from their side, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. Is that he said, the last sentence, the Pirates remain determined to build around Skeens. How determined are they?
Not
their,
very,
their
apparently.
Words might say that.
Yeah.
Their actions have not indicated that they are at all determined to build around him. They would like to build around him. Determined is a big word.
Yeah.
That's a big word to describe it. What is it? If they're determined, they would have done something more significant to give this guy run support so he doesn't throw a complete game and get nothing out of it, a whole goose egg.
I can't believe that we woke up on another day and Tommy Pham is still on this team. It's mind-blowing to me. All right, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday. It's about that time right now. By the way, did anybody call on flag football? I'm very curious about that, Limits. No? Maybe the interest in flag football needs to ramp up a little bit, yes?
A little bit.
Who would be your starting five?
You just asked me that.
I know, and you never gave me an answer.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Josh Allen would be my quarterback after some deliberation.
Yep.
I would go with Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Saquon Barkley. And my tight end would either be George Kittle or TJ Hawkinson.
You don't need to have a tight end. It's 5-on-5. I would go Lamar Jackson.
You have a lot of center then. Then Zach Frazier.
No, the
center's
is just a receiver. Zach Frazier? Limits, you need to look up some things about this.
Should Creed Humphrey be my center?
How many? You seem to be fixated on the idea of a center blocking and things
you
like that.
You said it's 5-on-5, but I gave four players. That's why I gave a tight end.
Well, yeah, it could be a tight end.
Yeah.
That could be valuable, but
a big joke. Like, you didn't Darnell Washington would be valuable on this team? A 6'7 guy in the red
yes.
zone? Just park him in the end zone and just throw it to him.
Especially against the Australian team.
Yes.
Or the Austrian team. I'm sorry. It would be you on Darnell Washington.
Yeah, Hawkinson's like 6'5. Could you imagine him against a guy from like France that's like 5'10 just
yes.
trying to make it through and trying to guard Darnell Washington or Hawkinson?
I would go Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Saquon Barkley, Tyreek Hill, and Ja'Marr Chase. Is that 5 or 6 that I name? Well, I'd have a 6th man. But then you'd have to have a defense. You need cover guys and you need speed. I would have Noah Lyles as my pass rusher. With Usain Bolt also in reserve. Can he still run?
Probably. Maybe not at an Olympic
Maybe
level.
Travis Hunter in reserve.
Yeah, Hunter would make a lot of sense.
And give me Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Who's the best safety in the league? Kyle Hamilton? Who else could we have at
Kyle
safety?
Hamilton tweeted something about this yesterday that I saw.
It'd be unbelievable limits. But yeah, you have to have a different 5 on defense. Anyway.
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton tweeted out a flag of South Korea.
Oh,
he tweeted out. So Kyle Hamilton could be playing for South Korea.
That's what I'm talking
Korea.
About, man. You best put together your best team because some of these other countries might have surprising ties with players who were born there or who in other ways can get citizenship there. I think Chase Claypool might be the MVP of the gold medal game for Canada. You think
the gold medal game?
Yes.
Chase Claypool might make the ultimate alternate universe flag football team with Artie Burns and Dree Archer and Cordero. They could all be on the same team together.
You can't mention him with them. He actually had 2 very good years. 1 great year.
Why isn't he still playing in the NFL?
Because he then went south in a big hurry. You know what would definitely
to Miami
happen?
And disappeared.
You know what would definitely happen with the Canadian flag football Olympic team?
What's that?
Music at practice.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that.
If Chase Claypool's the captain of Team Canada, there will be music. There will not be one speaker.
Limits.
Multiple speakers.
Don't underestimate the Canadian team. Chuba Hubbard is going to be on that team.
You're comparing
Josh
Chuba
Palmer?
Hubbard and Josh Palmer to Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Barkley.
You're not understanding the concept here. You're
not.
It's like Olympic basketball. I'm not comparing. You know,
in Olympic basketball, where Anthony Edwards, LeBron, Steph, and those guys win gold because they're better
barely,
than everyone else.
Barely.
Still, I'm still saying they're going to win.
Right. But it's like Olympic basketball in that there's five guys out there. Yeah. If you have one good one, you're going to have people that nobody's ever heard of be very competitive against U.S. stars. You just made that argument with the basketball team. Did you watch the Olympics? They barely beat France. And I know they had Wembanyama.
France has a bunch of NBA players, and Wembanyama's a top 10 NBA player.
They barely beat other teams. Those games were competitive.
I just want to see who, like, you know, Country X has a really good player on it if they do stack up to anybody that the USA puts out there. Like, if Kyle Hamilton is playing defensively, like, for South Korea, who else is around Kyle Hamilton? Because France had some good players on that team. France has some quality NBA players, some guys that have been all-stars.
All right. How about Cam Johnston punting for Australia? Oh, no, there's no punting in the game.
If there was punting in the game,
they
the Aussie-style punters, they would dominate.
They would have five punters on the field. Belgium could have Corliss Waitman. He could punt for them if there was only punting. But Canada, seriously, look at this ball club limits. Chase Brown, Chase Claypool, Chuba Hubbard. Let's see. Josh Palmer could play a little receiver for you. They even have a quarterback, Nathan Rourke.
Oh, yes. I'm sure him against Joe Burrow is a real matchup.
It's a flag football game, which Limit still does not comprehend.
Oh,
it's one 40-minute flag football game.
I'm fully comprehending it. Joe Burrow with great accuracy against this guy?
Joe Burrow would not be your quarterback. You'd want somebody who could run around back there. Plus, you'd want to have the running option.
Fine. Josh Allen.
Why not Lamar? Guess who else plays for Canada?
Who?
Or no, not for Canada. Somewhere. Where was Chooks from? Chooks Okorafor might play for somebody in this limit. So you just use him on the goal line.
My main point in this, and maybe I'm just uninformed, is there are so many players that obviously come from overseas, like the Wembanyamas of the world,
yeah,
the Jokic of the world, Luka, where we get to see their greatness on full display.
Right.
I don't know who those players are for a lot of other countries and stuff like that, other than the ones that you just mentioned.
Well,
because we don't get to. That's the thing. That's why I think the Team USA would just go out there and completely dominate, because the game is not as global as what basketball has become, where now there's international stars.
No, you're right about that.
Now, maybe flag football, if this really picks up and takes off, which I think it will, maybe in about 15, 20 years, there is some football player, and you start to see it with, like, the pathway program.
Well, I'm telling you, it's not going to be all football players. That's another thing that you're not understanding. Is there's going to be Olympic other athletes in this?
I don't see Noah Lyles taking part in this. I don't.
How about for another country? All right, you can ask Chris Curd tomorrow.
He has to compete in his own sport. He has to get ready to run the 100 meter, the 200 meter.
So do these guys. They're leaving training camp. And that's the other thing here, Limits. If you're running an NFL team, do you let Lamar Jackson subject himself to this? I sure as hell don't.
Yeah, I do.
For what purpose? I'm with Chris Sims.
The same purpose that NBA teams let their players go off and play in the Olympics. Do you think the Lakers really want 38-year-old LeBron going overseas and playing?
Don't you think that's a little more prestigious than flag football?
Well, the NFL is trying to build this thing up to be as prestigious as that.
Well, they can do all they want. I'm with Chris Sims, who said on Pro Football Talk, if I'm an NFL coach or GM and somebody calls me and says, hey, can Tyreek Hill go play flag football during training camp? My answer is a swear word and then no. I think that's the way I would feel.
Grow the game. I feel like the NFL would like that. And also being able to have your stars on the big stage in the Olympics.
I don't think that part means anything. You think the Ravens would revel in Lamar Jackson beating Chris Mueller in a game of flag football?
I think that the Ravens would definitely take it in stride and promote it as, this is our guy that was chosen to be the quarterback.
Yeah, once he survived it and was healthy. Yeah.
Our guy was picked. Like, if Lamar was the main quarterback, QB1, we have the best guy. Our two-time MVP was chosen to represent the country. Yes, the Ravens would definitely take that in stride and run with it.
I don't think they'd let him play in the first place. Why are we arguing about flag football?
I don't know, but a texter just texted in, and Pony is going to come in here and be mad that I said this. Austin is beginning the early stages of Philippinasia with the yelling. Philippinasia.
random yelling about certain things.
I love Pony's topics when he gets off on a tangent and he just starts going off.
Yeah, so
it's riveting radio.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Weather, cloudy with a 40% chance of rain during the Pirates game. Might want to bring a jacket. High of 70. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. And that brings us to Starkey's Card of the Week. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And that brings us to Jeff Patton of the Baseball Card Castle. We like to call him General Patton. Limits, do you have a guess as to the card of the week, please?
Man, I'm going to say NBA.
I'm going to say Marc-Andre Fleury, who played his final game last week.
That's a great pick. I'm going to go NBA playoffs, and I'm going to say that there is an Anthony Edwards card right now that is out there that might be of some worth.
General, is either one of us right?
Gentlemen, good morning. Appreciate you having me. You're both close. In fact, we'll throw in a Fleury and an Ant card, but we're going to go with Caitlin Clark this week.
Oh, great pick.
WNBA starting, and an underrepresented group on the Starkey's Card of the Week over the years, and Miss Clark went berserk again this weekend. And this one actually comes under the Starkey Loves Market Research file. Caitlin Clark has changed the hobby. It's interesting. She's been hotter than any male basketball player over the last 18 months. And the cards are, this is really interesting, is they actually have included her in some of the draft products that are all male cards. So they'll throw one of the draft picks from last year on the box, and Caitlin Clark also. So female basketball cards are very hot and led massively by Caitlin Clark. We have more requests for Caitlin Clark than any male basketball player right now.
That is awesome. Unfortunately, last night she had a great game, but they lost.
She did.
General,
how
I was very disappointed.
41 of 44 games on national TV.
It's unbelievable. The numbers when she plays, whether it's attendance. They're, for instance, they have a rematch with Atlanta that just beat them last night. And Atlanta's going to play the game at their main arena in town. I mean, it's going to sell out. It's unreal. Thank you, General.
And that interest is reflected in the card values. So we'll also throw in the other guys in honor of your requests.
Why, thank you, sir. Have a great rest of your week.
Have a great week. Good to see you guys. Thanks.
What a man he is, huh, Limits?
How kind of him to be able to throw in those other... Only a kind and generous man would do that.
Caitlin Clark. I mean, that's incredible. She's been one of the most transformative athletes in the history of American sports.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark has made a lot of people fascinated and interested in the WNBA and in women's basketball. And, you know, we're big supporters of Duquesne women's basketball, and it was upsetting to see Megan McConnell not make the Phoenix Mercury, even though I think she's going to end up going to play overseas.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah, she'll play overseas,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, good possibility.
We're big supporters of women's basketball, volleyball in general. Pitt, Duquesne, everybody up and down the list.
You know I love volleyball.
Remember the day we went out there with Livia Babcock and tried to return her serve over at Pitt Volleyball?
And she was serving at about 60% to us, and we...
I returned one, and you didn't.
I did return one, perfectly on the money, actually, and the video is out there. Thanks. But you did return one as well.
Thanks, Malzie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Coming up next. I mean, I feel like, you know, Limits, the John Heyman thing is interesting, where a pirate source says we're absolutely not trading Skeens, but I feel like we've already killed that topic this week. That's all we've talked about is how would you feel if Skeens was traded? Would it be a good move? Do you think the Pirates would do it? So I don't really feel like that's even newsy at this point. I guess it's newsy that a pirate source chose to tell somebody that is not happening from our end. That's the part that's interesting to me, is they wanted to squash that from their end. But I think that was already assumed and said that, of their own volition, the Pirates are absolutely not doing that. The story becomes, if John Heyman or anybody else ever hears that Paul Skeens wants out of Pittsburgh, then we'll spend whole shows on it. Now, that's not a story. You agree?
Yeah, I agree, but I do think the fact that a Pirate source needed to address it, or at least say that to Heyman, is a little bit notable. The fact that there's been so much heat on it, that a Pirate source had to make a comment on it. That's kind of what's frustrating about it.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big Q, taco to.
taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose.
Taco, 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 taco,
this deal legit.
Taco, taco, taco,
only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99. Taco to go.